Have you ever wondered what type of soft drink your personality is? What about if it were a dog? Today we'll answer these curiosities and more as we discuss the popular personality test, the Enneagram.
Hi, I'm Monica.
And I'm the other Monica.
And we are two Monicas and a microphone. Join us each week as we talk about nothing serious.
Seriously.
We'll talk about life, differences of opinion, our favorite obsessions, and any topic we find interesting. So, Monica, are you familiar at all with the Enneagram?
You know, I wasn't until you posted your link on Facebook a while back.
The Enneagram, just for those who don't know, I'm going to spell it for you. E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M. Enneagram. It is a personality test. It's been around for a while, but has only recently gained popularity. Now, Monica, you said you were really familiar with personality tests. Do you remember the first personality test that you took?
Yes. My parents gave it to my brother and I. And so they categorized us based on the four temperaments. And I happened to be a choleric. And so you're some combination of these four temperaments. But that was my first experience. And I think it was either 5 or 7.
What did you think as a 7-year-old? Were you aware that you were being tested? Or is it something you learned later in your life and your parents revealed it?
No, I definitely was aware that they were testing me because I have a little bit of an ego. I wanted to learn all about myself.
Actually, probably shows your level of maturity at that age. In the 9th grade, I took a test. I still don't know what it was, but it was part of one of our development classes. But one of the things we did was take a personality quiz. It gave you about a 5-page readout about who you were down to the type of lover you would be. It was very strange, but that was actually my first experience with it in any sort of official way. I like the Enneagram. It's definitely fun. My personal favorite test that I've ever taken is the Myers-Briggs. I just feel like it's more detailed. It's got 16 types. Enneagram has 9. So I feel like when there's 16, you can get a little bit more in depth in the personality. However, I think maybe it's not as popular because the naming function is really atrocious and it took me a long time to even remember what the name of mine was. It is much easier to remember if you're a 1 or 5 or 7, right? If you're an INFJ or an ENFJ, an INFT.
Wow.
You get the drift there. Not as fun, and actually harder to remember.
I did like that they use numbers because the number is neutral. So there's no preconceived bias as there might be when you read a word like choleric or phlegmatic or sanguine. There's already some sort of personality imbued in the word, whereas these are numbers.
And I think the only reason that the numbers work is because there aren't 10 personalities. I think that if you did have personalities 1 through 10, you would automatically scale 1 through 10. But because it is 1 through 9, you don't have that preconceived notion because you're not saying one is the best. And I think that's another appeal to the popularity of this is the non-bias in it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think it's got a really interesting history. And I know that you were interested by the history too with being a philosophy major. So I'm anxious to hear you tell us how we got started.
So the history is interesting because it's a combination of different philosophies. The history that I found from EnneagramInstitute.com states that it was originally put together by Oscar Icazo, and he put together a systematic approach for everything that he learned. After he had done that, he decided he wanted to found a school. It's called the Arika School, and he wanted to study teachings on psychology, cosmology, metaphysics, spirituality, and so forth. So he wanted to study everything that makes up the human consciousness and brings about transformations, which is the foundation of philosophy, I think. It was reintroduced by Gurdjieff, who taught the symbol primarily through a series of sacred dances or movements. In my head, I'm just imagining Elaine from Seinfeld when she dances and she's a horrible dancer. I'm imagining a series of that playing in my head when I see someone dancing out my personality.
They might not be far off. I have seen you dance, Monica.
So he wanted to connect the human centers, which he called human intelligence, thinking, feeling, and instinct.
That's so deep. Professor Stevens would be very proud of you right now.
I know, wouldn't he though?
I love how cerebral you have made this. As I introduced in the beginning, these are very fun for me, but I do like that they can actually be impactful in understanding yourself. And you really have done a great job of kind of taking this fun little thing that I've had as a hobby and bringing it to the next level.
Just made it too serious.
Join us each week to talk about nothing serious. Seriously.
So if you would like to take the Enneagram test, we will have a link in our show notes.
I was actually talking to a friend before this podcast, and she said she wanted the Cliff Notes version so that she could figure out which Enneagram she is, because she doesn't want to take the time. I believe that the official test is about 30 minutes. I am anticipating that a lot of you already know your Enneagram type, much like me and Monica did going into this podcast. And so you're just looking for a little bit more in depth and a little bit of fun. So we're going to be giving you that. But right now we're going to talk to people who might not know the different Enneagram types, or maybe you only know your own. So you're going to learn about the rest. All right, so we're just going to very easily and with a little hint of fun, maybe a little tongue-in-cheek, go through the different types of Enneagram numbers, and you can decide which one you are if you don't already know. Now, whoa, all of these starter packs I made up myself. They're super scientific, so
good to know.
So number one is the reformer, rational, idealistic type. You're principled, purposeful, self-controlled, and a perfectionist. Something you would never do is leave your laundry on the floor for a week.
Yeah, that's not me.
The starter pack for you includes highly organized junk drawer, including labels, a water bottle that has marks on it so you know exactly how much you drank, a planner, a slouchy cardigan with monochrome joggers to match.
Number two is the helper, the caring interpersonal type. Demonstrative, generous, people-pleasing, and possessive. Something a two would never do is accept a compliment without a thank you. Your starter pack includes a teddy bear hoodie, sugary warm coffee drink, plans with the family, and a golden retriever.
All right, the achiever. You are a success-oriented, pragmatic type. Adaptive, excelling, driven, and image conscious. A type three would never spend an entire week without having a to-do list. Now, your starter pack includes a to-do list, a first place trophy, a goal for the next 10 years, and a smartwatch.
If you're number four, this is what you sound like. You're the individualist, the sensitive, withdrawn type, expressive, dramatic, self-absorbed, and temperamental. Things a four would never do: watch a series on Netflix just because everyone likes it. Fours, your starter pack includes a journal, vintage anything from earrings to jeans or maybe a car, a t-shirt that describes you, and overwhelming emotions and a non-tabby cat.
Number five, the investigator, intense and cerebral. You're perceptive, innovative, secretive, and isolated. Mm. The number five would never throw a big party. Your starter pack includes black coffee, a bag filled with books, jeans, and a striped t-shirt, and of course, a little alone time.
I like number five. Number six, the loyalist. The loyalist is committed, security-oriented type. Engaging, responsible, anxious, and suspicious. A type six would never hear a weird noise in the middle of the night and be sure it was a cat and not a burglar. Sixes, you sound a lot like my true crime fans. Starter pack includes a tinfoil hat, plans with your best friend from childhood, a purse with everything anyone could need, including band-aids, floss, and hand sanitizer, black leggings, and a comfy sweater.
Nothing wrong with being prepared. I have a very good friend who always has whatever I need. I love it. You got to have those friends in your life. Number seven is the enthusiast. These are the busy, fun-loving types. Spontaneous, versatile, distractible, and scattered. A type seven would never make a to-do list, and then follow it. Your starter pack includes vacation plans, a red couch, weekly coffee date with anyone, and killer boots.
Oh yeah, that's my starter.
I know. I thought of you. I don't believe Monica has a red couch though. But
oh, I would have one in a second, but Paul would. Is red, green, colorblind.
So is Zach.
That's crazy. We have to do a whole podcast on colorblindness.
I love it. Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Everyone will tune in.
The challenger is number 8, the powerful dominating type. Self-confident, decisive, willful, and confrontational. A type 8 would never play a game and not try to win. Number 8, your starter pack includes your strong opinion, at home workout, superhero cape, and the word no.
But number 9, the peacemaker. Person is easygoing, receptive, reassuring, agreeable, and complacent. A type 9 would never purposely make a scene at a family gathering. A number 9 starter pack includes cozy candles, an olive branch, a bag of tortilla chip, your favorite cardigan, and a nap.
I love how you organized this, Monica. I hope everyone listening has been able to find a little bit of themselves that resonates mostly with a singular number. And I want to know a little bit more about what type you are.
I am a type 4. Now, before I get into how I've settled on that, I have taken 3 tests. I've never taken the original. Although I do feel like I'd still come up with a type 4. I took the Truity test, which is about a 15-minute test, and it came back as a type 4 twice. However, it also came back as a type 8 twice. The first time, I believe I had a 98% match with a 4 and a 93% match with an 8. But today when I retook it, 98% match with a 4 and a 98% match with an 8. I would say is very true. And both personality types have been very strong in me since I was a child. So, but I came back very strong as a number 4 in more than one type of test. If you want to do something really fast, there's the crystal test. I don't think that Crystal Knows. It says crystalknows.com. I came back as a 5. That was a 5-minute test with questions like, I have a hard time showing emotions. Yes or no. The Truity test, which is the one that you and I both took. Mm-hmm. It's 10 to 15 minutes. It has questions like, if I am honest, I feel that I am a bit better than other people. And then you have to rate that on a scale of 1 to 5. It's very introspective. Just to answer that question alone takes a lot of self-honesty. I did take another one that was about 15 minutes, the Eclectic Energies, and pretty much came back as a 4. Their questions were like, I want to win the approval of those in authority, sometimes even when I don't really like them. So it was another a little bit more introspective questions that you could take there. But I feel like with the Truity, it was consistent over the course of 6 months, and I basically got the same answer. I feel like if we're going to send anyone anywhere but the main place to take it, that you could feel confident with Truity.
I would agree. So for me, I've only taken it twice and I did the Truity and I came up with the same 3 numbers, but in a slightly different order the second time. So the first time I took it, I was a 7, 5, then 8. And the second time I took it, I was an 8, 7, and 5. I feel that's pretty accurate. So I would never be a 1. A 1 just wouldn't even register.
You and I both came out as 8. What was your 8? I was 98% 8.
My 7s and my 8 each time were in the high 90s.
Okay. So we're going to get on to what I think is super fun. I got into Enneagram through social media. It's like this whole subculture on Instagram and Pinterest that I found. And it harkens me back to the fun little days of looking at those teen magazines and figuring out my personality and seeing if it matches. So that's what we're going to do right here, friends. We're going to do this together. Hopefully you've picked out which number you are. And so we're going to talk about all these different things that you might be. For instance, I'm not going to share this one, you can go look it up yourself, but you can see which Harry Potter character you are, which Gilmore's Girl character you are, what type of leaf in the fall you are, Christmas pillow.
How funny.
It just goes on. And it is a lot of fun. So I have several of them here.
We have one here for pets.
I do. That's this cool. is fun. Why don't you start us off?
Okay, pets. So if you are a pet, this is what kind of pet you are.
Yeah.
Betta fish is a number one. A doggo is a number two. And a bird is a number three.
Hamsters are your number fours. Hermit crabs, your number fives. How cute is that? A cat is a six.
A rabbit, a seven. I mean, yeah. they love adventure. They're fast. They never stop.
Oh,
a chameleon is an eight. And a turtle is a nine.
Oh my goodness. I love these.
Oh my gosh, Monica, the next one. Oh, I love this.
All okay. Right.
If anyone out there needs to identify with their number and they love Twilight the way I love Twilight. So here we go. Carlisle is a number one, Esme, number nine, Rosalie, number four, Alice, number two, Jasper is a number five, Bella is a number six, Edward is a number four, Emmett is a number three, Jacob is a number eight, and Bella's dad is a number eight. No, there are no sevens in that group, and there I can attest.
There are no fun-loving people.
No.
Let's move on to the next one.
Oh, this one looks like fun.
Starbucks Enneagram. So I'm going to read these in a weird order because why not?
Yeah.
I know the number seven over there, Monica, is like, let's stop going in order. So number one would be a vanilla latte, and number four, the violet drink, and number seven, unicorn frappe.
That's got me written all over it. And I can see you as a violet drink. A number eight is a chai tea latte. Five is a Pike Place roast, and two is a sweet cream cold brew.
Ooh, that sounds good right now. Sorry.
Oh no, excuse me. That's a number three.
If you're a number two, caramel macchiato. Yum. Number two, mm-hmm. you have the best drink. Six, mocha. And number nine, oh, here's another good one though. Chai tea latte. Those twos always bring it in the cozy.
They do. Oh, I really like that one.
These have been really fun. Okay. The dog Enneagram. Number one is the Great Dane, gentle and naturally protective. Two is the Labrador, expressive, people driven. And number three's poodle, energetic and love performing tricks.
Number four is a Basenji, extremely emotive, not easy to train.
The first dog I ever thought of taking home and living in my house was a Basenji.
Oh, that's all awesome. Right. A Chow is a number five, devoted and picky about people. Six is a Boxer, fiercely loyal and loving.
Oh, these are so good. The Golden Retriever is a seven, playful, even tempered. I'll let you do number eight, Monica.
Oh, that's my Samson right there. The German Shepherd, the guardian, takes time to warm up to strangers. And ain't that the truth?
This is the truth. We got some good Samson stories we'll tell in our dog episode. And then number nine, these little guys are so cute. I love them. Little French bulldogs, affable and intuitive.
Oh, Monica, I think that one's my favorite.
I'm really excited to show you this next one.
Oh my God, Target. Target by Enneagram type. Oh my, this is awesome. In random order, everybody. You're a board game if you're a number eight. Juicy Magazine, number five. And number two, you're a thank you card.
You're number nine. You're coming home with fuzzy socks. And number six, you're coming home with the latest DVD because apparently it's 2010. And oh, number three, I'm jealous. You're coming home with a bottle of Moscato.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. So number ones, you've got the dollar spot notepad. Sorry for you.
I can see that.
Monica, number four, your favorite kombucha. And I will have a cruiser bicycle in my car. Absolutely.
No, y'all, she's getting number three. Three bottles of Moscato.
And the bicycle, and I'll get pulled over. I really like that one.
Like I said, this subculture is deep.
This is super fun.
Up next, we have, if you were an Enneagram, this would be the piece of mail. Not that you would get, but that would be sent. So this is the type of mail that you are.
You've got mail.
Number nines, you're going to come in the mail as a coupon, especially for things like Bath and Body Works.
Ooh, fun.
Number eights, apparently you don't even want to receive mail. You really prefer notifications and important things to arrive quickly so they don't get lost.
Sevens, you get an invitation to do things, parties, weddings, etc. Six, you are a holiday card from friends and family.
Aww. Fives, you are the package that was ordered online to avoid leaving the comfort zone. Number fours, you are a handwritten letter from friends or their lovers.
Three, you are a certificate or a reminder of an accomplishment.
Ooh, nice.
Two, you are a thank you card for anything.
Aw, twos, y'all are just like the nicest with your golden retrievers.
I need to find some twos in my life.
I know, they're great. And number one, you are a subscription box of all of your favorite things. Okay, friends, we have some more things that we love. I think that this is a little bit more specific. So let's go ahead and start with number fives. Your favorite thing is a podcast.
I hope you're listening right now, fives, and love us.
Me too.
Four, you love a sunset.
This is true. I have so many sunset pictures on my phone. It's obsessive.
Notice.
Threes, you absolutely dig a new planner.
Two, you love dinner dates with friends.
Still, gotta find some twos in my life. Number ones, you love anything organizational, anything.
Six, you love movie nights, popcorn, blankets, maybe a little bit of Disney Plus.
Sevens, cute but comfy shoes. What do you think about that, Monica?
Yeah, I would agree, but I do not like the pictures they use.
They are not cute.
No.
At all.
No.
It was clearly not a seven who drew this.
No.
Eights, you love a bold lip.
And nines, you love athleisure wear.
I like the nines. Nines and twos, y'all just really, you got it down if you ask me.
Oh, this one looks like fun.
Your Enneagram for how you are in the morning. I'm dying to know. These illustrations I think are so cute.
Yeah.
Ones, you're a get up and go. Get up, work out, shower, coffee, lunch is packed, feed the dog. Twos, before you wake up, you're dreaming and thinking. I wonder how my best friend slept last night. I wonder if I wake up now, I can surprise her with coffee? Threes, coffee, coffee. What am I wearing? Gotta look good. Today, shower, then you get coffee.
I don't know, sometimes I feel like a three. Fours, apparently you wake up in a perfect state of happiness. You think, oh, I love how the sunlight looks when it hits my plant. Wake up and you can have longer to sip coffee and sit in bed. What is that? I do not wake up like that. Fives, five more minutes, but coffee. Wake up in time for French rest. Everyone, shh, please, quiet. Number sixes. Uh-oh, you've hit snooze too many times. Oh no, did I oversleep? I set my alarm 35 minutes before I needed to get up. I'll just hit snooze again. What was I anxious about last night? Oh yeah.
Oversleeping. Sevens. Coffee time. What am I going to eat for lunch? Chipotle? Treat yourself. Oh crap, I'm going to be late. Eight, this is you in the morning. No, not yet. Aggressively hits the snooze button. Nine, please no, I'm so cozy. How can I avoid this? Can't wait until I'm back here watching Netflix again.
I think in a past life, I was a number nine. Which one do you actually feel like, Monica, in the mornings?
Always running late, but I don't wake up thinking about what I want to eat for lunch. I'm either a no, not yet, I'm so cozy, or I'm panicked because we overslept like we did for school on Friday.
Yeah, I'm actually in the mornings a number one, which is a little shocking to myself, but get up, go, work out, coffee, shower, get all the things done so I can enjoy the rest of my day. That way I can be more of my four self.
I'm also a lot like a number five. So if the kids wake up too early, I sleep with earplugs and an eye mask and I just tell them to be quiet and put a cartoon on for them.
I bet all of us listening to this wake up differently than our Enneagram probably says. Mm-hmm. And I bet that has a lot to do with what we have to face the rest of the day. Okay. This one's really fun. I like this one. So Enneagrams, your numbers, if you're a 4th of July food.
Oh, how
fun. So fun, so fun. Number one, very practical. You're going to be the sides.
Number five, you're a hamburger. Who doesn't love a hamburger?
Nine, you are fruit, probably a watermelon.
Three, you're chips and dips.
Seven, star-shaped cookies with little sprinkles, of course. Ooh.
Four, your deviled eggs.
Six, you are s'mores.
I've never had a s'more on 4th of July. Usually save those for winter.
What?
It's time for everything. Yeah.
Hold on, everybody. We need to talk this out. How do you not have s'mores in the summer?
It's too hot.
At night, it cools off.
Not here.
Oh, I forgot. You're in the South now. All right. Number two, your hot dogs. Of course, because it's like the most comforting food that you could eat on the 4th of July is a hot dog.
Great. I do love all of those foods.
I do too. Bring them all. These are so fun and creative. I cannot wait to show you this next one that I found. The Enneagram as types of sodas, or as I would have called them when I grew up, types of Cokes. What about you? What did you used to say, Monica, when you grew up?
Well, in Texas, everything was a Coke. What kind of Coke would you like? I'd like a Sprite.
Yep.
And then we moved to Michigan and everyone up there says pop. I think I say soda more than anything because I lived on the West Coast and the West Coast says soda.
I just love that little quirkiness about our country. Let's go ahead and start out just at the top. Number one, you like the best things out there. So you like Coca-Cola, classic and unchanging.
Twos, you're Dr. Pepper, cozy flavor and just enough cherry.
Threes, you're Sprite, fun and delicious, lemon lime.
Fours, Mountain Dew, unique taste and refreshing.
Five, you're a brisk tea.
Six, root beer, predictable and sweet.
Seven, you're an orange Fanta, tastes like childhood.
Eight, you are Pepsi. Same effect as Coke, but not Coke. Nothing is Coke.
Nothing is Coke, but Coke. Okay, and number nine, you're a ginger ale. Not too overwhelming.
That's cute.
I like those. Do you want to do Enneagram as punctuation? It's kind of funny what they say.
Let's do it. One's a question mark. Why? How? What?
Two, you're a comma. For the series of positive affirmations.
Three, you're a colon. And the list begins now.
Four, an ellipsis. I bet you're wondering what comes after these mysterious dots.
Five, parentheses. But what I really meant was.
Six, your braces, looking out for my own unit.
Sevens, the exclamation point. This is all so much.
Number eight, period. Said it, meant it, the end.
Nines, a hyphen, the connector of all the things.
That was really fun. Friends, as I've said before, total subcultured on Instagram and Pinterest. We'll have a couple of Instagram links and also Pinterest board in the show notes. So you can just go have fun like this on your own. I will tell you, you will scroll and scroll and scroll. I got a little addicted. We actually didn't even get to all the ones that I found because there were so many. Now, Monica, you and I really have enjoyed the Enneagram, but I know you and I have taken other tests that we really feel like spoke to us.
Yes.
So I'm kind of curious on one of the ones that you've taken before. How does it compare to the number that you got with the Enneagram?
It's hard to compare that because they're not saying the same thing.
Okay.
I'm referring to the four temperaments.
Okay.
So in the four temperaments, I am a choleric. And from what I read, a female choleric is extremely rare, but I'm not the rarest of the Enneagrams.
Hmm.
So, you know, it says that I'm extroverted, quick thinking, active, practical, strong-willed, and easily annoyed. And then here, the Enneagram trait says something similar. Extroverted, optimistic, versatile, and spontaneous. Playful, high-spirited, and practical. So those are very similar.
Explain to me just a little bit more about your temperament as the choleric.
So according to my source, a choleric is results-oriented, very active, positive, and forward-moving. They are extroverted, quick-thinking, practical. They're also brief, direct, and to the point, which can frustrate other people. I do like pressure. So we're easily bored. When there's not enough pressure, we like things to happen fast. Chlorics are visionaries and never seem to run out of ideas. We're slow to build relationships and tend to have only a few close friends. And this one says that chlorics tend not to be angry, although we are assertive and we will push to get results, which some people may interpret as anger. And it's true. I've had some friends tell me that I got angry, you know, when we were having a heated discussion. I'm like, I'm not angry. Like, but I know I'm right.
I hear you on that.
So I still find that a lot of the choleric traits describe me very well. And the Enneagram traits also did. I think my favorite line in this is all of this can combine to make a seven into the quintessential Renaissance person. And I have some friends here that probably would agree because I'm into a little bit of everything. It goes on and on, but I won't bore our friends.
For me, my favorite and the one I'm most experienced with is the Myers-Briggs. There's 16 different types of results that you can get. And I got the most rare one, which is INFJ. What to me spoke more through the Myers-Briggs is not just how I act, but it's more how you feel. And I think that's why it speaks to me a little bit more, because while I might come off as a four on the Enneagram, that is almost way too artsy fartsy for me when I read into some of it. I do not run around with watercolors. I am very creative, but I am just not the type of person I think that you think of when you think of a four. Even when I went and was reading into all of the, like I said, subculture out there, I didn't feel like a lot of the imagery really spoke spoke to me other than I do love vintage things. But there is a part that is very, very similar to the INFJ, and basic fear is that we don't have an identity or personal significance. And do people understand who that is? And a lot of times I don't think that people do. And so I think what type four did was it talked a lot about who I am, but INFJ talks a lot about how you're reacting with other people and you feel lonely. And like you've said about me a lot of times, I'm the introverted extrovert. Mm-hmm. And that is very confusing to people. And the other thing about the INFJ is that we tend to be a mirror chameleon personality. So when I'm hanging out with you, who is a seven, I'm going to mirror your energy. When I am hanging out with a two, I'm going to mirror that two's energy. So if I get around an eight, I'm going to be more that eight, which is kind of funny because I am also an eight, 98% eight and also 98% four, which speaks to the INFJ as well, because the INFJ is usually a dual personality. And I came across this one photo and it is like this ultra goth person sitting next to this absolutely sweet doll-faced person. And it says, my two personalities coexisting in peace.
Nice.
And I feel like that is me. And I feel like sometimes I'm just misunderstood, not in a bad way. Not that people, I say something and they think I've said something else. It's just like the true person who I am, because I mirror people, doesn't always come out. And I feel like I'm misunderstood and it gets a little lonely. When I read some of the stuff about the four, I was like, oh, I hate that. The bad parts of being a four. I was like, ew, yeah, I do some of that. But I do. I really enjoy people. And I think because I enjoy people, I love mirroring them because I love for them to feel good.
I think the reason I thought the temperaments and the Enneagram were different is because I got more information from reading about my Enneagram than I did about reading about calorics.
And again, a caloric's only four, you know? So I think maybe that speaks to it as well, because the Enneagram, that's nine. The color one is four. And then the Myers-Briggs is 16. So I think it just stands to reason that the more there is, the more information detailed out it's going to be per personality. Sense. I've had a lot of fun learning about you today, Monica, and then just seeing the different little things that are quirky that make you and make you so lovable. And me being a type four and being, you know, somewhat self-absorbed, I really enjoyed that about learning about myself too. And I hope other people did this while they're listening, is thinking of the different people in your life and then thinking, oh, that one friend I have, she's definitely a six, or that kind of thing. I had a lot of fun today. I am so happy to be doing this with you. And I'm so happy that we are going on to do more episodes together. And I just can't wait to see what's next. Thanks so much for letting us be part of your day, whether that's folding socks, driving to work, or getting in your cardio. We're happy to provide you with some entertainment about nothing serious. Seriously. For extended show notes, please head over to our website, twomonicaspodcast.com. That's with the number two. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at twomonicaspodcast, and find us on Pinterest at twomonicaspodcast. If you'd like to connect with us directly, email us at twomonicaspodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. That was fun.